Marcelo, let's go back just for a moment to the asymmetry of time before we go to the asymmetry of matter. And as you talk about the Big Bang, can you explain that for us too in terms, because I've got and probably always will have a difficult time perceiving what happened.
Well,
let's get your take on that.
Right. I hope you should feel okay about that. You know, you're not alone. It's not an easy thing to swallow because what happens is this. When we talk about the Big Bang, right, immediately people picture in their heads an explosion like a bomb,
yes.
Right, that happens in a point, right? So you have like the point where the bomb goes off, and then you have a bunch of shrapnel stuff that flies away from that explosive point, right? That's the notion. They say, oh, okay, so the Big Bang happened in some point in space and stuff started to fly off that point. And that is not the idea. Okay, so what is the idea then? Well, it's a little trickier. The idea is that there's not stuff flying off from a point where the explosion happened, but that space itself is stretching outwards like a rubber balloon. Okay, so when a bomb explodes and you have stuff flying off, you're assuming that space is sort of, you know, like the stage where things are happening, so it's mm-hmm. fixed and not moving, right? And everything is flying across space. Well, here the picture is different. The picture is basically saying that things are flying off because they're being carried away by the stretchy space, just like a cork, in a sense, floating on a river is being carried away by a current, right? So when we talk about the expansion of the universe, which is really the most important notion of the Big Bang, what we mean by that is not like that we are expanding, we people are expanding, although some of us may after a certain age and it gets harder not to expand, but or the solar system is expanding, like the distances between the sun and the earth is growing. That's not what we mean. It's really at very, very, very large distances between galaxies, like millions of years apart, millions of light years apart, sorry, that these effects are actually happening. And what's going on is, like, again, think of the galaxies, each galaxy like our Milky Way, as a cork floating on this big river, and this river is space, and it's space itself that is stretching and carrying the galaxies away. So the Big Bang was not sort of an explosion that happened in one point, but, and here comes the weird idea, is an explosion that happens in every point. Okay, so there is no center, like a boom place where.
Right. They shouldn't have called it the Big Bang. Maybe they should have said something else.
I know. The name is not good. And in fact, it was a joke. You know, what happened is that in 1948, when there are two theories going around. One was this idea that the universe started small and it's been expanding, which is the one that becomes the Big Bang. And the other one was called the steady state theory that basically said that the universe never had a beginning, will never have an end, that it's sort of a static thing that doesn't really change in time. And the guy who invented this theory is a guy called Fred Hoyle. And he was British, and he was in a radio program from the BBC. And the people asked him, what about this other idea that the universe is changing in time? And they said, oh, that Big Bang idea is just crazy. So he was basically making fun of the Big Bang model, but the name stuck. And now it's the Big Bang. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it depends who you talk to, we know now that the steady state idea is not right, and it's the Big Bang is the one that actually makes sense.
Okay, now, I can perceive the floating cork on water. I can see that. I can visualize that. But where in the heck did all this matter come from? All this physical stuff that we see throughout the universe?
Right. So, okay. So, basically, we have to go back to the E equals MC squared formula, the one that Einstein came up with in 1905, that said that you can actually think of matter as just another form of energy, okay? Sort of a, if you want, it's like a coagulated form of energy, right? Concentrated form of energy. So you might as well ask, where is all this energy coming from? What's going on? So as you go backwards in time, right? If you play this movie backwards now, all these galaxies and stars and everything, they start to get squished into very, very small volumes. Okay, now when you do that, when you squeeze matter into very small volumes, you heat it up. Okay, and heat is the enemy of structure, of stuff that is organized. Okay, when you heat things up, things break apart, right? And so, for example, when you put lots of atoms in a small volume and you heat it up, then the heat is going to break those atoms apart. And instead of having an atom, you're going to have electrons flying around and protons flying around and things like that. So as you go backwards in time, instead of having stars or molecules or atoms, you have just particles, the components of matter, zigging, zip-zapping around in space. We call this stage the primal soup, the primordial soup, okay? So when we talk about the beginning of things, we're not really thinking galaxies and people here. We're talking about little particles, okay, squeezed in a very small volume. And you may say, okay, fine, but where did these particles come from, really, which is what you're asking. Where is this coming from? Now, there is a little trick that goes on here, which is gravity is a very interesting force because it's an attractive force, as we know, and because of that, you can think of it as having negative energy, okay? And because it's attracting things and it makes things fall. So, for example, if you lift a rock off the ground, it's not moving, but you know that if you let go, it's going to fall down to the ground. And this kind of energy, which is not moving, but it's stored, it's called potential energy, okay? We know that if you let the stone fall down, it's going to fall down. It's going to move to the ground. This potential energy, we calculate it as being negative energy, okay? So why is this important? Well, because the universe is full of gravitational energy, okay, which is negative. But it's also full of matter, which is positive, the mc squared part. And in the balance, you can actually have a balance where the energy, the total energy of the two is zero. On the one hand, you have gravity with negative energy, and then the other hand, you have matter with positive energy. You add the two, and you get zero. So the universe is a zero-sum game. You know, it's the only free lunch that you have, in a sense that you get everything out of essentially nothing because you add the two and you get zero, okay? So that's the mystery of things. When you go back in time, the universe is so squeezed into such a small volume that it's gravitational energy. Remember when I talked before about the gravity as being the curvature of space? Well, yes. You have so much of it in there that you have a tremendous amount of this negative energy stored, okay? And from that, you can create all this positive energy, all this mass. So in the beginning, you basically had a universe which was just squeezed space, just matter waiting to happen. And out of this event is matter pops out of it, and that's what the Big Bang is.